political word today.
And so you should know that the leadership of the church is sensitive to how can we communicate the truth of the gospel without categorizing in a negative way. We just had that conversation this weekend at our high school. We had a retreat, an overnight retreat with the high school students, 9 through 12, and the theme of the retreat was losing your religion. And we talked a little bit about this category of Christian, how these students today, the high school students today, teenagers today, are, they're losing interest, to put it lightly, in what it means to be a Christian. Even students that I would sort of categorize as Christian are losing interest in being what it means to be a Christian, but they're not losing interest in God and in Christ and in walking in faith, what it means to walk with a personal God and walking in faith. Well, categories were prevalent in the first century when Jesus showed up too. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Matt started a series last week that we're going to spend the fall talking about, and it's basically just walking with Jesus through his life, through his ministry and his message, specifically about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Jesus preached the kingdom. Matt shared last week when Jesus showed up on the scene, one of the first things out of his mouth was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is at hand. And so Jesus sort of painted the picture of his life and his ministry right from the very beginning as a kingdom ministry. And so that's what we want to be about. We want to be about Jesus and his message and his ministry. And so we're going to spend the fall walking with him, listening to him, and hearing from him about the kingdom message and ministry. Matt started last week by offering a phrase that I want to jump on and sort of expand on today. He said, the good news of the kingdom is that disqualification becomes invitation. Disqualification becomes invitation. There are your two, there's a category there. In the first century, it was extremely important for God-fearing Jews to categorize people. It was very important to be included in the category of those who were blessed by God. It was very important their lives were wrapped up, and how can I be in that group, the blessed group? And how can I stay out of the group that is not under the blessings of God? There were categories. They were exclusive. And so Jesus showed up and started preaching a radical message that just destroyed their idea of the blessings of God and who gets to experience them. I think you'll agree with me today that in our culture that some people think they have the exclusive rights to the blessings of God. Or at least they talk that way. Or maybe not the exclusive rights, but they can perfectly define who is in the blessings group and who isn't in the blessings group. It's a clear demarcation to them. Well, I want you to know that that's not true of Jesus. That he showed up and just tore down stereotypes and ways of thinking about who's blessed and who's not, and just shattered those and presented a kingdom view that was so inclusive that in the end it got killed. And so we want to talk about that message of the inclusive kingdom of God. The title of the sermon is The exclusive, inclusive kingdom of God, the exclusive word. I just use as a play on words to indicate that In our society, this the idea of the exclusive nature of the gospel, of the Bible message, the exclusive nature of Jesus as the one and only Son of God, is held in tension in various ways with the inclusive message of Jesus and the kingdom. Exclusive person of Christ, he's the only Son of God, the Bible says, one and only. Inclusive message of Christ. Everybody's welcome. And I want you to know that there's a tension there. That is, as someone who's working sort of in presenting the Christian message every day, there's a tension there. And the kids that I work with, this is one of the things that really is a sore spot for them about the message of the gospel, is this idea of exclusive uniqueness. And it comes through in our society in places like on TV through people like Oprah. And I share it in my classrooms, and it's just a representation of our society. And one of the phrases that we talk about in our class, where Oprah shares, she says, I just can't believe there's only one way to God. Implying that after all the people that I've talked to, all of the people have all of these different experiences and varying experiences of religion and a varying experience of God. I just can't believe there's one way. I can't believe there's an exclusiveness to God. Tension. And so in our society, there are churches that sort of, on the spectrum, move over to one side and say, you know, the exclusive claims of Christ as the unique Son of God, we're either going to ignore them or we're going to reinterpret them, and we're going to focus on the inclusive message of Christ, and we're going to include everybody, and we're not going to talk about the exclusive person of Christ. I was in an Easter sermon this year, heard an Easter sermon this year. I was visiting family. Was in a church that had that kind of ministry, that kind of message at Easter. Sort of ignoring the exclusive resurrection of Christ and focusing on the inclusive message of the gospel. And of course, there are churches all over the spectrum who are very exclusive in their message and their ministry, and it's very difficult to get in. Well, I want you to know in this church, we're holding those in tension. That there is an exclusivity, a necessary one, about the person of Christ. He's the only unique Son of God. And yet, let me suggest this, just as we get into the scriptures here, that it's the exclusive person of Christ, the unique person of Christ as the Son of God, that makes the inclusive message so radical. So great that the one who is uniquely positioned, the one who is uniquely positioned to decide who's in and who's out, welcomes everybody into the kingdom. Isn't that amazing grace? That's the good news. And so that's what he shared as he came into his public ministry. I just want to read a short passage with you, and then we'll unpack it, and we'll respond and worship in prayer together. It's in one of the Gospels, Matthew, chapter 5. Many of you who've been in church circles know this passage. Matthew is just a book about the life and ministry of Jesus. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's his most famous sermon or message or teaching, called the Sermon on the Mount. This is the beginning of it, called the Beatitudes. It says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This was a radical message of the inclusiveness of the blessing of God that we don't want to miss. This word blessed in the Greek makarios incorporates the meaning of wholeness, of joy, of well-being, of a holistic peace expressed by the Hebrew word shalom. The Amplified Bible renders blessed this way: happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Wholeness, joy, well-being, holistic peace expressed by the Hebrew word shalom. So in the first century, the blessed were those in the category of God's favor. And so Jesus is redefining who's in the category. Because in that day and age, blessing, I'm not sure what this is.
Is it backwards?
I'm going to go back. Go ahead. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
I'm sure what this is. Maybe I turned it off or something. Okay, blessing is equal to God's favor. And so Jesus is saying God's favor is upon you. Okay? God's favor is upon you, poor in spirit, you, those who mourn, you, who are meek and on. And so lacking blessing is equivalent to God's rejection or being a sinner. And so in order to categorize those who are blessed, who was blessed in that culture, it was those, generally speaking, those who were healthy and whole, spiritually, physically whole. And so if you were walking around with a disease or a sickness or some other something else that rendered you in their eyes unhealthy, clearly you weren't in God's favor. You weren't blessed. Something was wrong with your life or your family. Someone sinned. You see that in the Gospels. Blind man was brought to Jesus, and the religious leader said, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Because clearly his blindness is an indication that he's not in God's favor. Was their thinking. And so Jesus shows up and says, blessed are you and you and you and you. Wait a second, I'm blessed. I'm in God's favor. Wait a second. God is blessing me? The kingdom blessings are available to me? That was the response that Jesus got. And so it's a common interpretation of this passage to say, well, if blessed are the poor in spirit, then you should strive to be poor in spirit. Right? It's logical. Unless you understand what poor in spirit really means, which is actually what it sounds like, you are in poverty of spiritual things. And so to say it is admirable to be poor in spirit, so you should strive to be poor in spirit and so that you can be blessed, just doesn't make any sense, culturally speaking. What is Jesus really saying here? Dallas Willard says, these are not teachings on how to be blessed. They're not instructions to do anything. They do not indicate conditions that are especially pleasing to God or good for human beings. They are explanations and illustrations drawn from the immediate setting of the present availability of the kingdom through personal relationship with Jesus. They single out cases that provide proof that in Jesus, the kingdom rule of God is available in life circumstances that are beyond all human hope. The kingdom blessings of God are available to people who feel disqualified. The poor in spirit are called blessed by Jesus, not because they're in some admirable, meritorious condition, but in spite of and in the midst of their ever so deplorable condition, the kingdom of heaven has moved redemptively upon and through them by the grace of Christ. The poor in spirit, Willard says, are the spiritual zeros. He says you would never call on them when spiritual work is to be done. There is nothing about them to suggest that the breath of God might move through their lives. They have no charisma, no religious glitter or clout. They're the first to tell you that they really can't make heads nor tails of religion. And yet the rule of the heavens, the kingdom of God, comes down upon them in their lives through their contact with Jesus, and they too are blessed, healed of body, mind, or spirit in the hand of God. Spiritual zeros. God's blessing is available to those who feel disqualified. To those who can't make heads or tails of religion. To those who will readily admit that they haven't figured God out. To those who have a lot of questions, plenty of doubt. The kingdom of heaven is available. The blessings of God are available to you. And so throughout this series, you're going to see glimpses of this. Because everything Jesus does is a testimony, is an illustration of the radical generosity of the kingdom blessings of God. As he heals people. Matt read this last week. Just before the passage that I read to you, the scene is Jesus, Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. In other words, all of the people who had been excluded in the old system from the blessings of God showed up, and Jesus said, poured out on me. Poured out. Healing. Wholeness. Blessings of God on you. They got it wrong. This is right. Available, poured out through Jesus. Just come to Jesus, pouring out on you. And so Jesus' ministry was one of healing and of hanging out with the outcasts. Not because he was just someone trying to be a good person. He was reflecting the truth of the availability of the blessings of God for every kind of person, wherever you are in your faith. wherever you are, in your belief, available. I just want to finish with a couple pictures, illustrations of some experience of this in my life and in ministry. This is a picture of just a crowd of people, hundreds of people lined up. In a church that we were a part of before we moved here, we were part of a church plant in central Ohio, a vineyard church plant. And one of the ways that we expressed the kingdom of God to our community was every August, we gave away backpacks full of school supplies in the local park. And as you see, we had, you know, 50 people the first year and 150 the second year, and it grew to be the year that we left, there were 600 plus people coming to this park to receive backpacks full of school supplies. And not only did we give away backpacks, here are a couple pictures of kids in the park having a great time and receiving their backpacks, proud to have their new backpacks, but we also fed them. Had a big cookout for the community. Not only did we have a cookout, we provided free haircuts for kids. Had about 15 of the local students who were willing to volunteer their time to give haircuts. And not only that, we too had a bouncy castle, which obviously is a perfect, you know, picture of the kingdom of God, right? So obviously God is saying something to us through the bouncy castle. But I stood up at the beginning of our time where people just showed up and they were lining up to receive their backpacks. And if you can imagine, just a huge crowd of people. And I stood up with a microphone and I just wanted to kick things off and give them a brief message of why we were doing things. This was all just the community of churches. It wasn't just our church. There were, you know, a dozen churches involved. And so I wanted them to know what I'm sharing with you today. I wanted them to know why we were. And so as they were lined up and they were waiting for the backpack, I took the microphone and I said, okay, you're all here to receive your free backpacks, and there's food there, and there are games, and there are haircuts. But just so you know, before you receive your backpack, we want to make sure that you prove that you're qualified to receive the backpack. You know, you have to show that you're worthy of receiving a backpack. And everybody was like uncomfortably smiling. And I said, you know that's not true. The churches in this community want to bless you generously. We're not going to ask any questions. The government has to ask you questions about that to qualify for things. And that's okay. We don't have to. And God doesn't. Just come and be blessed. Receive. The kingdom of God is available to you, generously, radically, the blessings of the kingdom through Christ. Well, Jesus went throughout the community, the region, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people, and all who were ill, he healed them. And we want to pray that God just might do something like that here today. God is the same God. Jesus is alive. He gets to choose how he's going to do ministry today, but we pray that God is going to do some of these same things today that he did 2,000 years ago. And so we're going to transition into a time of response, of worship, of receiving prayer. For those of you who would like to receive prayer from people who believe what I'm talking about, God is generous and powerful. If you're on the worship team, why don't you guys make your way up in the communion, if we can get that set up. We'll transition here into a time of response. Thank you. representation of the meal of Christ, is a physical way for us to respond to the invitation of the kingdom. And this is an invitation that goes out to every person in this room, wherever you are in your faith and in your belief or in your lack of belief. If you want to respond to Christ, if you want to say yes to the kingdom of God and the blessings of God in your life, you're invited to come and share in this meal.